You would turn your Bibles to James 4. We read verses 13 through 14. If you'd like to follow along, we have Bibles underneath the bench. You'll be on page 1078. 1078. Once again, James 4, 13 through 14. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I'm sorry. I'm reading from the wrong one. Excuse me. Once again, James 4, 13, 14. I had the wrong one marked. Come now, you who say to get today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away.
Good evening. If you're visiting with us, we truly appreciate you being here. You are indeed an honored guest. We ask that you stay around for a few minutes after service. Give us an opportunity to meet you and you to meet us. You know, normally when we have a speaker, we usually ask them to write their bio or something to be said. And Archie kind of caught me off guard there, but Archie, you did an excellent job. I couldn't have written anything better than what you said, and I truly appreciate you and the church family here. A couple of people approached me this evening before and said, make it short and sweet, okay? We have things to do. I said, nope. So I'll keep it to about 5 minutes if that's okay. And Scott, Scott is at Sunrush preaching at the gospel meeting there at Sunrush Church of Christ. So gives me my privilege to speak to you tonight for just a few minutes. I want to speak to you about my subject is time. And we'll talk a little bit about the past, the present, and the future. When we look at time, we see that time seems to be speeding by us today. It just seems to be running right along. But when we actually stop and look at the clock, it's the same calculation that it always is. It just seems to get faster and faster because as we grow older, we become more cognizant of the time, we become more aware of the time, and we try to put more things into it, thereby making it seem like it's going by really fast, really fast. But if we think back to those of us who have a few years on us, when we think back to the younger years, time seemed to be so plentiful. There was always time to play and to do the different games and do all the kind of things we wanted to do, but as we became older and we started putting more into the day, then it seemed like we began to run out of time. Does it seem like sometimes to you that if there's something that you really want to do, time just it just goes so slow that you get into that point. But if it's something that you don't want to do, and you're in the middle of it, it just drags on. Is this ever going to end? You know, can you get to the end of that? So our perception of how time moves, our perception of what we're doing in the moment, a lot of times makes it seem like time drags or flies by us. When we look at time, we must realize that our greatest danger is letting the secular things crowd out the important things. We find too often that we live by life's demands instead of by God's priorities. Life is too short for us to do everything that we want to do, but it's long enough to do everything that God wants us to do, everything that God requires of us. Each new day brings us 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,000 seconds. And you know, when we the moment, the precious gift that we get, we find in James chapter 1 and verse 17, where we find that our time is precious that God gives to us. Each of these precious moments calls us to be good stewards. To be good stewards and be mindful of how we use our time. realizing that one day we're going to have to give an account to God for the time that He's given us. So we want to be good stewards of the time that we have. How effectively we do the things that God requires of us shows how we're using our time. If someone gave us $1,440 each day and said that we had to use it all or lose it, how diligently would we try to comply? Would we try to use up that money so we could get another allotment the next day? Someone once said that, "I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it is up to me just how I use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." Think about that. Wisdom has taken every opportunity today to fully understand the time that's granted to us, understanding how to use the time. We have been given the same amount of time, but the difference is, how do we use it? We've each been given the same amount of time, but the difference is, how do we use it? Instead of killing time, we should be redeeming it. Instead of counting the days, we should make our days count. When we speak of time, we look at the past, we look at the present, and we look at the future. And you see, each of these times are very important, but just as important is our attitude toward each of those times. When we look at the past is getting longer all the time. What connects us to our past is our memories. You know, we can have a lot of joy when we think about our memories, a lot of happiness when we think about our memories. And we can also have a lot of sad times when we think about those things. Through our memories, we can relive our past, and in a sense, our past is always with us through our memories. But there are some things that we have in our past that we should forget. We shouldn't remember them because of unhappy times. We shouldn't remember them because of the mistakes that we may have made. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Some people are continuously unhappy because of some mistake they may have made yesterday. But you see, nobody should let themselves be haunted by the past to the extent of being unhappy in the present. When we've made a mistake, we should change from that, we should repent of that, and then move forward and forget that. We should not let the things of the past haunt us to where we can't be useful or happy in the present. When we have done all that we can do to correct the mistakes of the past, we should learn from them and not repeat them and move forward, forgetting them. God has said that He will. In Hebrews 8 and 12 we find, "For I will be merciful to thy unrighteousness and thy sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more." So we find that Christ's blood washes away all sin. Some people may think that they've been in sin so long that there's no way out of it. They've been doing the wrong things so long that there's no way out of it. We know that's not true. We find in 1 John 1 and verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, this doesn't mean that God passes out unconditional pardon and indiscriminately passes out pardons. But it does mean that forgiveness is available to us, to all who obey the gospel and continue to be obedient to it, recognizing when we fail, recognizing when we falter, repenting and coming back and asking God for forgiveness. No one is perfect. We're going to have those times when we're going to slip. But realizing, as I said a moment ago, and recognizing that, turning from that, and moving forward. You know, it would be foolish of us if we let the pains and the problems of the past help us or cause us to be unhappy today in the present. While we are in the progress of forgetting the mistakes of the past, we should also learn from them. By experience, we should have learned many things that will help us in the years ahead. I guess in a sense we can say that we redeem our mistakes of the past by learning from them and not repeating them. When we look to the Old Testament, we look to the patriarchal age, we look to the Mosaical age, and then we come to the Christian age. We realize that as we study that, we see the things that the people were doing for each of those ages. We see the people who had moved away from God, who God was taken care of, and then moved away from, turned their back on them. And we saw and see the punishments that happened because of that. But on the other hand, we also see those who were pleasing unto God and the blessings that they received when they did the right thing, when they were obedient to his word. We see those who faltered and turned and came back to him and the forgiveness that they received and the blessings that they received. The way we live now is an important consideration, the most important consideration. But our attitudes toward the past will determine to a great extent our ability to use the present to the best possible advantage. So let's look at the present. The present should be viewed as preparation for the future. Now is the watchword of the wise. Later may be too late. Right now counts forever. To make our lives count for eternity, we must be wise in how we spend the time that God has given us today. So a question, what will your eternal harvest be? God's emphasis is on now. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your forefathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." James 4:13-14, which Russ read for us, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Jesus emphasized the importance of the present. John 9:4, "I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." The way we live today will determine the kind of past we will have tomorrow. Benjamin Franklin said that time is money. And you know that's true. Time is money. When we look at the factories, we look at manufacturing, we look at the assembly lines, we look at restaurants, they have to keep things flowing, because if they don't keep things flowing, that's money. If they're not meeting the quota, that's money. And just a little tidbit. If you go to a restaurant and it's always cool, it's always chilly, or it's always hot, or if you've been there 30, 40 minutes in the seat, it starts getting hard, it starts getting uncomfortable, that's by design. Because they have it set so that you don't sit there and stay forever, and they can turn that table over and get more people in. That's by design, so that's a freebie. Okay. Not because I'm in the restaurant business, but anyway. So we need to understand that we can't bank time. We need to use it or we're going to lose it. We can't put it up for a future time like we do money. We can't store it and then collect interest on it. We have to use the time that we were given as we were giving. Time is knowledge. Time is power. Time is salvation. And it's the proper use of the time that brings blessings to us. You've probably heard the saying that everything is in such a whirl in today's society that we just don't have time. But when we look at the facts, we find that too many jobs, too many organizational clubs, too many recreational things are the real consumers of our time. It may seem sometimes that we are mere puppets just going through the motions. Think about it. Have you ever did something? Have you ever gone somewhere? and you got from point A to point B, and you look back and you're thinking, what happened in between there? What happened between point A and point B? Going through the motions. We need to be aware of the things that we're doing. We don't always have the courage to say no to certain things in order to put other things in a proper perspective, to make other important things have an opportunity to be in our lives. We have the same number of hours today as did the apostles. It even takes fewer hours today to make a living. Fewer hours to make a living than it did in any previous time in history. Where the real problem or trouble comes in is when we do not have the courage to make the decision to put first things first. Who resolve to place the kingdom of God first in our schedules, then certain activities will automatically be eliminated, and others would naturally move to the forefront. When we learn when to say yes and when to say no, there is a way to work out our schedules so that God is first in our lives. Because see, if there wasn't a way to do that, then he commanded an impossibility, and we know that that's not true. We must remember that we're responsible for how we use the time that God has given us, because one day we will have to give an account for that. When we consider the eternity of God and the frailty of the human flesh, we should consider James 4:14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And pray the prayer of Psalms 9 and 12, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Realizing that life is short should help us to use the little time that we have more wisely. Take time to number our days by asking, what is it that I'd like to see in my life, happen in my life, before I die? And then, what is it that I need to be doing today to reach that goal, to reach that objective? Yesterday is past and cannot be changed, and tomorrow may not come. So we need to make the most of the opportunities that God gives us today. So what about the future? As we look to the future, we realize that it's becoming shorter and shorter every hour. When we think about the fact that in 80 to 90 years from now, all of us most likely will be in eternity. And when we think about it in that sense, it brings a reality to us of the brevity of life. It brings it closer to home. I remember when I was 14 and my mother was 35, and I thought, man, aren't you ancient? 14 now, and she was 35. In 4 months, I have a daughter that's going to be 40. Mom wasn't ancient. I just thought she was. I remember being in the military, and I did 20 years, and I'm thinking, boy, is this 20 years ever going to come up? I got 20 years, and I retired. Last month, that was 22 years ago. Where is time going? It's not standing still. It's moving. Now, having said that, I don't mean that we should dwell on the fact that our earthly existence is short, rather that we are to face the future, and we can face the future with confidence, that our eternity can be spent with God. You see, God has given us the plan, so we need to be about working it. While it is yet daylight, while it is today, he's given us that promise. Our attitude toward the future also helps us to determine our current usefulness. Paul writes in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Faith is that which gives us victory over the future. Some people worry so much about the future that they can't be happy in the present. As some live in the past, there are also those who live in the future. You know, we find sometimes that we're looking for a future time to be happy, looking for a future time to begin living. But you know, today is all we have. We need to find the happiness daily in what we're doing. We need to find the happiness in realizing that if we are about doing God's work, we can be happy. We can find that happiness. Now, a lot of times we need to make sure that we're not looking for something that we don't necessarily need to be make us happy. We need to think about God's blessings. When we look around us, we can always find someone else who maybe doesn't have it quite as good as we have as an individual. And they're smiling and happy. That's what we should be doing. In whatever situation we're in, we should be showing that attitude that as long as we are in Christ, that we can be happy in whatever situation we're in. Because we know that whatever we're going through is just going to be temporary. That He has a home for us with Him. Christ left to prepare a place for us that we can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like. And as we walk this walk for Him, we need to stay positive. Yes, we're going to have times that's going to really get us down. We're going to have times that we're going to be unhappy. We're going to have times that we're just going to wonder, how am I going to get through this? That didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to work. That should have been better. I should have gotten more for this. I shouldn't have to do that. But think about the prize. Think about what we're truly here working for. Think about why we were created. Being happy in the moment, not waiting for a future time. Those with bad habits are planning to change after a little while. Those who are not Christians are planning to be someday. But you know, procrastination is not just the biggest thief of time. It's also the thief of souls. God speaks to us and says, now, Satan says, there's a more opportune time, there's a more convenient time. Take your time, don't worry about it. We should live as if today, right now, is our last day on earth. Because it could be. No day is promised. The person who assumes a proper attitude toward the past and lives well today can face the future unafraid. Jesus is the only one who can block out our mistakes of the past, the only one who can make life worth living today, and the only one who can lead us into the future safely. Do you plan to accept Christ sometime in the future? But more importantly, is He yours now, this very minute? And if not, why not? Again, Joshua said in 24:15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. James 4:14 again, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So what time frame are you living in? The past, the present, or the future? There's the past which we live and should learn from, and there's the future which we plan for and pray that we will reach, that we will see. But most importantly, again, there's the present, today, right now. Time is a strange commodity. We can't save it, we can't borrow it, we can't loan it, we can't leave it, we can't take it. We can only use it or lose it. Time cannot be stopped. Whoa, wait a minute, time out. There's no time out in the game of life. It can't be stopped. Time can't be stored. We can't take it down to the bank and put it in the bank and let's store this up for another day. Let's add this on to another day. We can't do that. It can't be stretched and it can't be shared. So how we live in our presence. We should learn to live now. Today is the only day that we have. Stop saying, if I had time. We do have time if we put things in the proper perspective. we need to stop overly worrying about tomorrow, because God says, Christ says, he's going to provide for us tomorrow. If we're doing the things that he wants us to do, he's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to give us what we need to survive. We need to cut ourselves loose from the past, those things which are continuously bothering us that shouldn't be. We should bury our failures in the grave of God's forgiveness and let him give us a brand new day. If you have not accepted Christ, now is the time. We find in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, Paul is talking about reconciliation. In verse 17 he says, being reconciled to God. In verse 17 he says, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when we've obeyed the gospel and been buried in baptism with him, we're raised to newness of life. All things have passed away and we become new. We begin to fight that good fight for him, for Christ. So we should realize that in Christ, a new spiritual life is given to us, and all our previous sins are washed away. We are endowed with the Holy Spirit. When we obey the gospel, we begin a new and glorious life. In Christ are all spiritual blessings. In Christ, there is eternal life. Outside of Christ is nothing more than remorse, hopelessness, condemnation, and death outside of Christ. Ephesians 1, we'll look at the reading here. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 talks about the redemption in Christ, and it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and truth, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him you are also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. God had a plan, has a plan, whereby we could be redeemed even before we were created. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, the Lord said, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. And Paul added, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Time is a precious commodity. We need to use it or lose it. Understanding what happened in the past, where we want to be or plan to be in the future, we must use the time that God has given us today. Today. God has given us the plan. Through his word, we know what it is we need to do. And we need to be about doing that while it is still day. If you've heard the word and you've believed it, you repented in your heart and you're ready to be baptized, buried in that watery grave with Christ, raised into newness of life, and then beginning to march forward for Him, following His word, being obedient to His will, looking for that home that He's prepared for us in heaven for those who are obedient to His will. That time is now, the present. Let Him wash away your mistakes of the past. Let Him help you with your present. For in Him there is hope for the future. If you have obeyed the gospel, and you find that the things, the demands of the world are getting in your way, they are causing you to sway from that path that leads to home. You find that things are weighing on you, that you are getting discouraged and you need to be strengthened. You need to have your brothers and sisters rally around you. You need the prayers of to give you strength to walk that walk, to work while it's yet day, while we have the opportunity. That time is before you also. We only have the present. No day is guaranteed. We look to our past and understand the things we've gone through. As in the Old Testament, well, it said there's examples in the Old and New Testament of anything that we could go through, examples of how people went through things, how times seemed to be unbearable. And turning to the Lord, believing, trusting, came through those times. Or if they chose not to, then being condemned. We have an opportunity. But we must use the time, the valuable time that God has given each and every one of us. No day is promised. If you have a need tonight, please come forward as together we stand and sing.